the ramifications for hating Donald Trump seem to be far and few between. Supporting Donald Trump, different story. You kind of have to keep your head down. And some Trump supporters have shared their survival skills behind California's blue curtain. This is a story in the LA Times by Mark Barbaric. For nearly 20 years, Ed Ring and his wife Maggie got together once a month or so for dinner and conversation with two longtime friends. But something happened last summer. Donald Trump won the Republican presidential nomination. Soon after, Ring recalls, their dinner conversation grew tense. How, the couple demanded, could he possibly support Trump? Then a few weeks later, to Ring's surprise, his old friends made it known their relationship and dinner dates were finito, over. My pleasure to welcome that gentleman who got the wrath of his friends, and I don't know if it ended the friendship, but it's our pleasure to bring Ed Ring on board. Ed, welcome to McIntyre in the Morning.
Well, thank you, Rob. Thanks for having me.
So tell us your story in your words. This is something that happened with apparently longtime friends, yeah?
Well, it did, and it actually has strained some other friendships. It really wasn't a big, mortal threat to our friendship until he actually won the election.
Oh, yeah.
That's when it got, very traumatic. It's really hard, if you think that the world is coming to an end because Donald Trump got elected president, it's hard to have a sense of humor. It's hard to talk to people that think it might actually have, on balance, been the best possible outcome in the election.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. I did not support Barack Obama. I didn't vote for him. And I thought that a lot of his views were pretty radical. And even his mission statement to fundamentally change the nation, I thought was pretty radical because I didn't know if the nation needed to be fundamentally changed. I know we needed to fix some things and like that, but you know, I didn't think we were living in the worst place in the world. So I had big disagreements with Barack Obama and his ideas of how to make the country better. But you know something, we got through 8 years, and those of us who didn't support Barack Obama tolerated 8 years of him. But I don't get the same sense that there's a give and take like that on the other side.
Well, there's not. And I think part of it is, I have to say that a lot of the ways that Donald Trump communicated his ideas were probably almost as offensive to me as they are to his opponents. You know, he's not somebody who was trying to make friends quite often in the way he was describing the issues and his opponents. And I think that made it personal. But I think it's bigger than that. When you talk about issues like immigration and racism and the environment is the other big one, they're just really emotional issues. And it's hard when you have somebody like Trump who's talking about those issues in a way that's, you know, really take no prisoners kind of attitude, mm-hmm. really almost deliberately trying to offend people and polarize people. You know, an issue that's already pretty sensitive. So that made it hard.
No, I get the point. I get the people are upset because it's a change. And that's, you know, elections have consequences. And, you know, Donald Trump is a big change from what we had. But I just find he is polarizing. I totally get that. But the LA Times calling his presidency a total disaster, a train wreck, and going on and on, they have a several-part series we talked about earlier today. And everything obviously is negative, and everything has to be negative because it's the LA Times and it's Donald Trump. But the polarization of people on the subject is just something that I think is unprecedented.
Well, it sure is. And, you know, it was hard because it would have been easier to just kind of agree with everything and preserve the friendship.
Sure.
But you know, there's some contradictions in where we were headed, and we'll see it. We're still seeing it in California. I mean, I'll give you a perfect example. We want to, you know, California wants to be a sanctuary state and let millions of people in, but at the same time, we don't want to let anybody develop land. We're tepid attempts at best to develop, you know, to rebuild our infrastructure. We don't want to build desalination plants. We don't want to build dams. We don't want to build power plants. In other words, we want to, you got to have one or the other. Either don't let anybody in and don't build anything, or let everybody in, but build stuff so that we can still have a good standard of living and not such a high cost of living. But they want both, and that's not going to work. And, you know, it's very frustrating to watch this. And when Trump came along, you know, those of us who are not on the side of the left when it comes to building infrastructure, and we think maybe it would be sensible to increase border security. And again, at least do one or the other. If we're going to let millions of people in, let's develop land and build the country up. And Trump came along and reflected that frustration. So to me, it was kind of amusing to listen to him. He wasn't tiptoeing around any of these issues.
No.
He was just so in their face. And it was kind of exhilarating for a change to hear somebody that just didn't care what they had to say about him. He was going to express these points of view. And they weren't points of view that are incoherent. They're not incoherent at all. We have to build things. We have to have border security. Maybe we shouldn't be in all of these foreign wars. And Trump he's not a right-wing extremist. He's a moderate who just talks like a extremist. He's actually, you know, look what happened with Obamacare. They couldn't repeal it. Why? Because people on the far right, who Trump's angry with now, stopped it. Trump was in the center on that issue. So,
yeah, that's a great
point. I'm I'm not sure how to get through to my friends, but I try.
Well, that brings me back to the original question about this particular couple you were friends with for so long. I'm curious about your reaction, Ed, at getting this phone call and finding out that you can't even have a meal together. Is the only thing you talk about is Donald Trump?
Well, things were starting to become strained. I think, again, the two issues were the environment and climate change, you know, and immigration. And, you know, I love to talk about politics, and so did they, and I thought they enjoyed the give and take. But when somebody came along who was going to have real power and actually won the election, you know, in this great upset, who agreed with me about issues like climate change and immigration.
Yeah, that changed the game.
Sure it did. It made it much harder.
Yeah, I don't know if you're like me, Ed, but I've talked about this a few times on the show that I have friends who are not Trump supporters and are vehemently opposed to Trump and his presidency. And I always start out, if I haven't seen them for a while, I know we're getting together, because I will not let politics ruin a friendship.
No.
And they may want to take it down that road, but so far I haven't really lost friends. There's been some rough patches. But I always start out with a joke. And I'll use the term Big Lee. You know, when Trump says Big League, people say Big Lee. And I'll kind of try to lighten the mood a little bit, like, yeah, he's a knucklehead sometimes. And you know, that's the way it is, and he's our president. Let's hope that the country benefits by him. But that doesn't seem to be the case, at least with your friends. They didn't want any part of it, huh?
Well, you know, if you really lose sleep at night because you truly believe that if we keep driving our cars up and down the roads, the ice caps are going to melt and the sea level is going to rise by 300 feet, it's not funny, you know? If you truly believe that you know, it's not just a matter of maybe a little bit better border security, because in a practical political environment, that's all that we're going to get. We're going to get a little bit better border security. We're going to, you know, things are going to be tightened up a little bit. We probably should do that. But if you think it's, you know, there's going to be concentration camps and mass deportations and, you know, all of this, you know, uprooting of people's, millions of people's lives, if you actually think that it's going to come to that, again, it's not funny. Nothing's funny if you believe the world's about to come to an end or we're about to have Nazis take over our immigration policy. It's not funny. You can't make jokes. So it's really how you view where we're really going and what's really happening. And if you have a different point of view, if you really think it's that apocalyptic, nothing's funny.
Well, it's funny. You know, Rob talked about it earlier. You know, I think the common consensus, right, is if you go to somebody's house, you never talked politics and religion because you didn't want to get into arguments, or you knew maybe Aunt Betty didn't like this, so you're not going to bring up that conversation because you don't want to ruin the meal. But it just seems like nowadays, even though your friends might know you guys you know, fall along different party lines or have different ideas on different things, that even when you come together, they don't even want to come together because they must not like you as a person now, because they can't even just go to dinner and not talk about politics. They just know you like that guy and you must be a bad person now. And that completely changes the dynamic of things.
Well, it did come down to that. I mean, it was, I think that, again, if you really believe that supporting Trump means you have to be a racist, or at least you're condoning racism, you know, and if you believe that somebody who supports Trump is a so-called denier, you know, which is terrible way to, a manipulative way to describe someone who simply has a, doesn't think the world's about to come to an end because of climate change. But if you really think that, you know, you can't support Trump unless you hold these extreme points of view, you know, I guess, you know, it was so personal for a lot of people to see him win, and so threatening. I don't think the world's about to come to an end.
You're the radical.
There's a lot of great things going on in the world.
Well, you're the radical, Ed. That's the whole. That's how the world is upside down now. If you simply have a different point of view, or you don't go along with the party line, you're not just wrong, but you're a crazy person. So you can't have it. I know exactly what you mean. If you really believe the oceans are going to rise by 300 feet and mankind will cease to exist, like Al Gore was saying years ago, and he was wrong about just about everything, you're going to be emotional about it. But holy smokes, I mean, try to maintain your maturity and, you know.
Well, it was really hard to, you know, have somebody say, because, you know, they loved to have political conversations, but it just...
Until
their side lost.
Yeah, they had 8 years where, you know, they're, except for the midterms where they got killed.
Are you bummed that you lost them as friends, at least for now, or are you like, whatever?
Oh, no, I don't like to lose friends, especially, I mean, I like these folks. We my wife and I love these folks. You know, it hurts, you know, to have somebody say, I don't want you around my children anymore.
Oh, man.
That hurts.
That's the most ridiculous thing.
We'd love to have them back, you know, and we probably have to stop talking about politics. But that was one of the, you know, premises of our friendship. We were political people. We were interested in politics, and we liked to talk about it. So,
it's a fascinating subject, Ed, and I'm like you. I love talking about politics, and most of my friends do as well. And like I said, it's horrifying to me that somebody could be that small to take a friendship, no matter how many years it developed over, and just throw it away because of a disagreement over politics, where politicians don't care about us. I mean, let's get down to the basics.
But so, it's an existential threat. I mean, I don't see it, but people, really intelligent people, are looking at it differently, and they see Donald Trump as an existential threat. And so, you know, that just trumps everything, if you will.
No, I understand. Ed, thanks so much for taking time to be on the show. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Rob.